It's time for Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things podcast, a review of what we got done on our morning show, which you can hear live on Planet 93.
Do it live.
Yeah. I mean,
or do it this way. I guess you're doing it this way, aren't you?
Yes.
Do it live!
But we do it both ways. We do it live, and then we condense it. What you're getting is basically Dave and Darren concentrate. And you can feel free to put it in a freezer and water it down. Whatever you need to do. We're glad that you downloaded it. We're thrilled that you subscribe, and we hope you enjoy what you're about to hear.
Or take it full strength.
Only under the care of a supervisor.
It's like the cinnamon challenge.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I want people doing that. Let's get started with the first one, yes?
Yes, number one.
Number one.
Number one.
There are stories that I come upon, and I think, why is this in the news?
Mm-hmm.
Not that it's not interesting. I mean, I'm about to share it with you, so I find it interesting, but I'm puzzled by the need to tell this story
to know this
to anyone, right? I don't know why this is in a newspaper, but it is. A woman is saying that her boyfriend...
He was my boyfriend!
Her boyfriend gets up to 100 erections every day.
Huh.
She's 31, he's 39. They met at a supermarket during the COVID lockdown in 2020 and instantly hit it off.
In the produce section, over by the carrots.
They're at the eggplants.
Right by the cucumbers. And he was holding a bag of bananas. Bananas! $0.29 a pound.
What are you doing?
All the way from Guatemala.
Woman says that her boyfriend gets up to 100 erections every day in every situation imaginable, and there's nothing she can do to curb his rampant libido.
Funerals are the worst.
Bing bong, hello!
Oh, no. Vicky Brown is 31. Lucas Martins is 39. They met at a supermarket during the COVID lockdown in 2020.
And who says we're going to run with this story?
And now they're in a committed relationship.
Uh-huh.
They live separately, but see each other often. Here's the catch, though. Vicky says there's no rest from her boyfriend's constant erections. She says anything can set him off. And he can be aroused in any setting, whether it's at home watching a movie or out getting the groceries. And she says she is now at her wit's end. She's a healthcare worker, you see.
It's not your wit's end that you should be worried about.
This may be kind of messed up, but am I the only one getting a boner right now?
Well, no, that guy is, too. She's a healthcare worker. And she says here, from the beginning until now, wherever we are, he can have an erection. It's up to 50 to 100 times a day. We only have to sit and watch a movie or walk down the street or go to a friend's house for coffee, and he's got an erection.
Is she sure? Are you sure it's 50 or 100, or is it just one? Because it sounds to me like it might be just like one.
You pulled a boner tonight, and you know it.
I got another one. She says, sometimes it's embarrassing, but he just laughs about it.
Oh, and we laughed?
Another boner. Kill me. Vicky had previously been single for a number of years after ending her relationship with her children's father, and that's when she met Lucas.
Uh-huh.
They met when they were at a grocery store during lockdown. Lucas called Vicky beautiful after seeing her in line at the grocery store. And he was wearing sweatpants.
He said that about the muskmelons as well.
Doesn't
take much. Beauty's in the eye of the beholder, and I be holding an erection right now, okay?
She turned him down when he first asked her out, but Lucas eventually won Vicky, and they ended up going on a date. Since then, they've been together for 2 years. Despite living separately, they see each other regularly. She says his constant desire for sex cuts into her own time, and she struggles to keep up with chores and appointments.
I miss a lot of appointments.
Struggling.
While meeting to her amorous boyfriend's desires.
The house really needs vacuums.
Mm-hmm. Despite mentioning the matter to a doctor, Lucas has been told this is not a medical issue. And he says it's never happened to him before until he met Vicky.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I bet that's... Come on. Does that make any sense? She says, we actually met in my favorite supermarket. I was in my uniform with wet hair and a mask on. And we were lining up, and he walked around the corner with a massive piece of filet steak in his basket and said, wow, aren't you beautiful? We got to talking. I turned down 3 coffee dates at the start because I was so happy being on my own. We would have never met if we didn't meet each other at the grocery store. Through the whole process, she says, through the whole relationship, he's always had an erection.
He's always been a gentleman. He opens doors for me and doesn't even use his hands.
Consider yourself zinged.
The zing of the day.
Quote, through the whole relationship, he's always had an erection. In shops, restaurants, the gym, there's no rest from it. In bed, it's the same. He can go to sleep with one and wake up with one.
That's why I'm saying, I don't know that it's 100.
Every single place we are, we could be having a perfectly normal, everyday conversation. Like, should we go climb a mountain this weekend? And he's got an erection. I can come down the stairs and walk past the glass door, and he'll be in the next room, and it still happens. I have spoken to him about it, and he's always believed...
You'd have to stay away from certain places.
All the places.
Like, the kids' museum is out of the question.
He says, it just seems to be natural. I've got a wonderful woman next to me. Look at her. She's a goddess. She only needs to look at me and speak to me, and I get hungry for it. When we first started... I said, I'm happy with one as long as we get in on all aspects, we'll get along fine. And after a year, when most couples would die down, months and years go by and we get hungrier for each other. Well, it sounds like you do.
Yeah, you do anyway.
She's blabbing to the newspaper. She need to get off her.
Someone help me.
I fall asleep with one and I wake up with one. That is a medical issue. I don't know what doctor you went to that said that that's not an issue medically. That's a medical issue.
It's a physical issue.
Yeah. And again, he's not a 14-year-old kid.
No.
This guy's, what did I say, 38? He's 39, and this is happening. He says, it's how she makes me feel. Our bodies are so connected, and it's so easy.
Our bodies collide like the 4th of July.
What are you doing? Oh, my God.
Ta-da!
Another one?
No.
I love that she's...
It's the same one.
She's blaming all of her missed appointments on... On Papa and Boner over here.
The reason the laundry's not getting done.
All right, so let's go out for coffee. Really? You want to go see a movie? Oh, God. Going to the library. Oh, come on! Funerals are the worst. Oh, jeez. Well, you know, wish him the best. Mm.
I think he's already got the best.
I don't know, man. I would talk to a doctor. That seems like a lot to deal with. Number two. Yesterday after the show, not long after the show, my phone starts going crazy. I'm getting text messages. I'm getting emails. And I was kind of working on some other stuff, so I didn't really have a chance to check it out.
Did people have your Bix time?
No, I still can't find that.
Still a mystery.
I don't know what I'm doing wrong. Well, I just went to the website, and they have like 6,000 times posted, but close to 10,000 of us raced, so I don't quite understand what's going on there. Maybe I don't have something checked right, or I don't know. I'll look into it. But no, this you mentioned the Bix, which is, of course, the Quad City Times Bix 7. Mm-hmm. I don't know that we've ever been sent a story from the Quad City Times in the volume that we were sent this one, because it deals with something we talk about quite a bit here on the show, and that's the old summertime question, where will you be swimming this summer?
Right.
And if today, a day that has a heat advisory, you're planning on using the Riverside Family Aquatic Center, please know that you will not be able to do that. If you're in Moline and you're planning on going to the Riverside Family Aquatic Center, it is shut down today.
Now you're in the process of not only shutting down beaches, but pools.
This wasn't my decision to shut down the Riverside.
But would it have been?
Oh, absolutely. Without question. Yes. Reading here from the Moline Parks and Recreation Department, they say, for the safety of all patrons, due to a diarrhea incident late in the day.
Oh, no.
On Sunday at Riverside Family Aquatic Center, the facility will not be open today. We apologize for the inconvenience. However, according to the CDC, this is the time needed to effectively treat the water to ensure the health and safety of swimmers.
Will they reopen?
We will not be reopen on Tuesday.
What about this summer?
We look forward to seeing everyone on Wednesday.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Well, maybe some of this rain can help.
I don't know that it will.
I don't know that it will either.
Diarrhea.
Somebody here not happy that the people at the Moline Parks and Recreation Department were as frank as they were with their description. Somebody writing here.
Couldn't take the truth, huh?
Somebody saying, thanks for being so specific. And then there's an emoji of gross.
Listen, we're all grown-ups here. Well, that's not true.
No. That's.
Can you imagine if you're in the deep end, say?
And you look over?
Well, no. I'm talking about all of a sudden your stomach starts to roll a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you're swimming as hard as those guys in Jaws. When Jaws took down the dock and started.
Here's the thing.
Don't look back.
Look, man.
Just get to one side. Get to some.
No.
Get to dry land.
Too late for me. Save yourselves. Diarrhea is not a cough, man. You know if you have diarrhea, and if you have diarrhea, you shouldn't be in a pool. That's not cool. Even if you don't,
well, maybe
let go in the pool. If you have diarrhea, you shouldn't be in a pool. Everybody knows that. Center for Disease Control says you can get sick with diarrhea if you swallow contaminated recreational water in pools, hot tubs, water playgrounds, oceans, lakes, and rivers.
Well, I bet.
Diarrhea, the most common illness reported for outbreaks linked to recreational water. There's fun in the water, but, Darren, there's danger, too.
What have I been saying forever?
Since fourth grade, you've been telling us this.
Fifth, but might as well be.
Even better. Yeah, because of limited summer hours at the pool, they're not open today. But they were shut down all day yesterday, doing a nice deep clean at the Riverside Aquatic Center. Due to a, again.
Oh, boy.
They're thinking about putting a lazy river in there. A splash pad.
How much more lazy can you get?
You think you have a crap job?
I mean, I think the opposite is what is needed.
Yeah.
Maybe everyone, let's stay on point.
Uh-huh. That inner tube is not a toilet seat.
It is not.
What you're thinking of is a crazy river, and nobody needs to be floating around in that.
Uh-uh.
Come on, Moline, grow up.
Number three.
I've got a bunch of people looking for advice from strangers that I want to share with you. A couple of these take some turns. Am I wrong for seeing no problem with my teenage daughter's habit of making her basketball teammate cry? I'm a dad to a 14-year-old girl who plays on a high-level club basketball team.
Oh, really?
And yesterday, we were pulled aside by her coach, who accused her of bullying another girl on the team.
Uh-huh.
At first, I was shocked, because it's not like my daughter to behave that way. But when I dug deeper, I learned she was just trying to motivate one of the lazier girls on the team. My daughter is fiery and competitive, but she's not a bully. I played college basketball.
Oh, did you?
And I dealt with a lot of teammates who would get in my face if I wasn't performing well.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't complain about being bullied. Apparently, my daughter has reduced this girl to tears on multiple occasions. But my kid just wants to win. I feel like her teammate needs to toughen up a bit, or else the real world's gonna eat her alive. My daughter's a great kid who gets along well with others, but she's also very competitive. I don't want her to change, because I think she will become a great CEO one day.
Oh, boy.
Am I wrong for thinking my daughter isn't the problem?
Visions of grandeur, huh?
Wow. Lot to unpack here. Your family sounds horrible. This was written into an advice columnist who says it's unacceptable. Tell your daughter that this is unacceptable. And it's not okay to yell at anyone to motivate them. To answer your question, is it wrong to think your daughter isn't the problem here? She clearly is. And you may be the problem as well if you think it's okay to judge a child by calling her lazy.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's not the answer I was expecting.
I wanted you to tell me that I should be a CEO too. I mean, I played a little college ball. Am I a jerk for proceeding to build a pool in my backyard after my neighbor has asked me not to do so?
In your yard?
Mm-hmm. My partner and I are building a pool in our backyard. We don't have any kids. I have a neighbor whose husband has gone out of town a lot for work, and they have two kids.
Mm-hmm.
We've had small chit-chats here and there, but we aren't close with them by any means. She noticed we were working with some developers in the backyard and casually asked what it was about.
Oh, God, not a pool.
And we told her we were getting a pool. Then she looked like she saw a ghost
mm-hmm.
and proceeded to explain to me, keep in mind I've never met her kids, she explained to me that her 15-year-old son has special needs and has a tendency to wander. I don't know exactly what his needs are, and I didn't ask because it's none of my business. She tries her best, she says, to keep track of him, but, quote, all I have to do is turn my back for a second, and he's gone in a split second.
Boy.
She said she had to call the police a couple times to find him and then proceeded to beg me not to put a pool in the yard because it would be dangerous for her son, and she can't guarantee that he won't wander and want to go into the pool, and that despite her best efforts, he still gets out sometimes. I told her we were complying with all of the insurance requirements, including building a fence around the pool, putting a tarp on it when it's not in use, etc. And she explained that she is able to unlock the kid is able to unlock doors and fences, and the pool we're building will be, her words, a death trap for him. That he's fast and strong, and once again, it only takes a second and he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
I told her I sympathize with her plight, but she has absolutely no right to tell us what we can and cannot have on our own property. And it's her responsibility to make provisions to safeguard her son. So am I a jerk here?
Well, no, I think you've got it figured out there.
Right.
I understand your situation and I sympathize with it, but if you really want the pool on your property,
mm-hmm.
There you go. I get the idea of not wanting a neighbor to have a pool, mm-hmm. but there's nothing you can do about it.
Right. Right. You need to move.
Yeah, you might have to consider moving.
It sounds like the family with the kid needs to move, right?
Because pools can get loud.
Now, you can put an alarm on the pool that goes off if somebody's in there. But, yeah, that's... I don't know. You have to make sure that you take steps to make sure that the kid won't go in the pool. But at some point, what are you supposed to do?
No, you're allowed to do what you want with your property.
Should I propose to my girlfriend of 7 years, even though the idea gives me an anxiety attack?
I bet it does. I bet it does.
Wait, what? I've been with my girlfriend for 7 years.
Wait a minute. What gives him the anxiety attack? The idea of actually the proposal or the being married?
I've been with my girlfriend for 7 years and lived with her for four.
Uh-huh.
She wants to get married and have kids.
Yes.
For the past 3 years, I've promised to propose every 6 months. But when the time comes...
Put it off five or six different times.
When the time comes, I back out. I even went ring shopping, but couldn't pull the trigger. Although I want to get married and have kids one day, just the very discussion of such a commitment gives me serious anxiety to the point where I cannot breathe. I want us to travel the world before we tie the knot, but she's too attached to her job. My family says I'm too young to get married at 27.
What?
What's your rush?
Talk me out of it.
My family says I'm too young to get married at 27.
Uh-huh.
And that if I need counseling now, before even proposing, things will only get worse when we have a mortgage and kids.
Yeah.
My therapist says contemplating marriage should be exciting and happy. But all I feel is trapped.
Terror.
No. I love her and living with her is fun, but marrying her seems... like doom.
Okay.
She says I'm stringing her along without a timeline, and she's pushing 30. But I'm honest that I cannot guarantee if and when I'll be ready. So do I propose with, like, a 5-year engagement?
What? Yeah, she'll go with that.
No!
Yeah, she'll go for that.
Here you go. Here's your ring. Let's get married in 5 years. Yeah, this was written to a advice columnist who says your relationship has reached an impasse.
Yeah.
This is not something you need to...
Make or break here.
Am I selfish for wanting my brother to move out of my home 5 years after he moved in to get back on his feet after his divorce? My brother is newly divorced. After he and his wife split up, I let him stay with me so he could save money, sort things out, and receive some emotional support. He's a good guy, and he pays half the bills. Pays them late, but he pays them. He's also sloppy, and I'm constantly cleaning up after him. He's aware of my displeasure with cleaning up after adult, but he seems not to care.
Seems not to care.
He's lived with me for close to 5 years now,
uh-huh.
and I need my space. We are both middle-aged and divorced. I'm an empty nester, and I want to live alone.
Yeah.
I'm annoyed by everything he does, but I feel awful for feeling that way. There are times I don't want to come home because I know I will encounter a mess. I yearn for space and time alone. Am I being selfish and uncaring for being annoyed just by his presence? This was written to the advice columnist Amy Dickinson in the Washington Post.
Mm-hmm.
And she points out something I'm sure a lot of you have been screaming at the radio as I've read this. 5 years is not newly divorced.
No.
He got divorced 5 years ago. And you're saying, well, he's newly divorced. He's just trying to get back.
You can stop saying newly divorced.
5 years? He's a middle-aged man who's living with a sister who treats him exactly the way he wants to be treated, like a child. So, yeah. Bro's got to go.
If that's what you want.
Mm-hmm. And then one more to wrap things up here. Was I wrong to put a life-size cardboard cutout of The Rock in my bedroom to catch my sister-in-law snooping?
Okay, give me more.
I'm a 32-year-old female, and my sister-in-law is a 43-year-old female. My sister-in-law is super nosy. At my house, the guest bathroom is partially shared with the master bedroom. Basically, you can get into our bedroom through the bathroom without going through the main floor.
Uh-huh.
So when she comes over, she sometimes would take a little bit too long in the bathroom.
What's going on there in the bathroom?
During maybe the third or fourth time, I happened to be walking by the bathroom, and I heard two doors closed. I asked her if she was looking for something in the bedroom, and if I could help her find it. She replied with, no. Why would I go in your bedroom? And then quickly changed the subject. The next time she was going to come over, I set something small behind the bedroom door so I could see if it had been opened by the small item being pushed back.
Uh-huh.
Later, I could see that it had been. So for me, confirming that she'd been snooping again, I asked her directly if she'd been in our bedroom. And she said something like, look, I don't care what's in your bedroom. Get over yourself. So yesterday, before my sister-in-law and brother-in-law came over, I ordered a full-size cutout of Dwayne The Rock Johnson, which I placed in our bedroom, facing the bathroom door. An hour into the visit, she heads to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Very shortly after, there's a scream and a thud and a door slam.
But why The Rock?
She came out clearly angry. She'd been quite startled and slammed her upper arm into the door frame while turning away from the cutout. My brother-in-law made it worse by asking, well, why were you in their bedroom? She wouldn't answer, and they left. She's now posting on Facebook that she has a big bruise on her arm as a result of me pulling a nasty prank on her. People are saying she could have been hurt worse and that she's too old to be the victim of such a childish prank. I feel badly that she was hurt, but that was never my intention. Am I a jerk? Because I think this was hilarious.
I just don't know why you opted for The Rock.
What would you have done?
I don't know. Dracula? Or, I don't know. Something spooky?
So, like, Bela Lugosi is Dracula?
Something, but...
Oh, that'll keep you out of my room.
The Rock?
Yeah, I think if I were to open a door and The Rock was there, I'd be like, holy cow, it's The Rock! You're right.
Yeah, I don't know how freaked out I'd be.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I would realize it's just a cardboard cutout.
Well, wouldn't you know that it... I'm guessing if it's a cardboard cutout of The Rock... It's him as his wrestling persona, not as an actor.
Who knows what it is?
So he would be...
Or is it a movie poster? A movie cutout?
If he's dressed in the, like the, with like the knee pads and the armbands, I mean, that'd be a dead giveaway that it's not a real person, you would think. Although you can get cutouts of him dressed in a bunch of different ways. Yeah, I'd like to know, like here's one where he's in a suit. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I'd like to more information on what he's supposed to look like.
Or some sort of monster with glowing eyes or something, you know?
So you would full on Scooby-Doo this up with like an actual ghost.
Yeah, something scary. I just don't know that The Rock does it.
Somebody took a
I mean, typically he's, you know, and I would imagine typically he's smiling, right?
Yeah, oh yeah. Somebody for prom a couple of weeks ago took a Dwayne The Rock Johnson cardboard cutout to prom.
Okay. Did it spook anyone?
No, I think people understood it was a three-dimensional representation of The Rock.
Yeah, right.
I don't think anybody was like, oh, The Rock's at our prom. He's gonna kill us.
He's gonna kill us all.
Oh, he's gonna totally take down our Rudy Poo asses. Oh, I smell what he's cooking. Oh, this doesn't end well for us. No, I think everybody assumed that this was a girl who brought The Rock to prom.
I'm going to the prom on my own, and here it is.
Yeah. And then it went viral, and he noticed it, and he said, wow, what an honor it was for me to go to prom with this girl. Have a great summer. Which is, you know, The Rock's the best. He's not someone that should terrify you. I wonder if he'll, now that this has gone viral, if he'll have to comment on this. People, by the way, are saying that she's kind of a jerk for this. Someone says you shouldn't do pranks for any reason. Don't prank people.
Well, stay out of my bedroom then, and you won't have to put up with the prank.
Right. If she put the rock in her sister-in-law's bedroom,
that's different.
Then that's a prank.
I can put this in my bedroom if I want to.
Yeah, it's my bedroom, and I've asked you not to go there, and you've made it look like you don't care what's in there, but you keep going in there. So yeah, that's not a prank in any way, shape, or form. You've just hired The Rock to do security.
A little security is all it is. And it worked out just right.
Number
four.
They put up a new Welcome to Bettendorf sign.
Okay.
In my neighborhood.
Your neighborhood?
Yeah. When you're coming in from Davenport on 53rd.
Yeah.
They actually have two of them up now. And the new one is in front of the old one. I imagine the old one has to get taken down because the old one's like made out of brick.
Okay.
But the new Welcome to Bettendorf sign that lets you know that you're in Bettendorf.
Yeah.
They've gotten rid of the A Premier City tagline.
Oh, yeah? Now what does it say? It
just says Bettendorf.
Oh, okay.
That's
accurate.
Just Bettendorf. They've gotten rid of the Premier City, and I don't know. I as much as I've rolled my eyes every time I drive past it, I think I'm going to miss it.
Value of your home just
plummeted. It's like we're a town full of nobodies now. What is this? Yeah, just a big post that says Bettendorf. That's it. I don't know whose decision that was to get rid of the Premier City. It was working.
For you.
You can have my olive, Mr. Howell.
I already took yours.
Now, I'm looking at the website, bettendorf.org, and the Premier City is still there in the logo for the town.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know if it was an oversight or maybe they're going to add some sort of Premier nonsense to the new new signage.
If they don't, you might have to.
I mean, do I have to take the law into my own hands? Story from Las Vegas, Nevada. A self-described Red Bull addict led Vegas cops on a 100-mile-per-hour chase and was later found with hundreds of stolen cans of, you guessed it, Red Bull.
It's just so good.
Self-described Red Bull addict. Officers had to use pepper spray here.
And he just kept coming.
Eugene Davis is 35 years old.
I'm hooked on this stuff.
And he had an accomplice named Angela Sharp. Now, this is not the same Angela Sharp who now works for the Premier City of Bettendorf. I want to be very clear. This is not our Angie Sharp. This is someone who has a similar name.
Hoping this isn't her new job.
Oh, God. No. 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 Now, Angie Sharp is not involved in this story.
Now, you're leaving News 8 to become what? An accomplice.
A Vegas Red Bull addict. On July 20th, two employees at a Costco in Vegas witness a woman, later identified as Angela Sharp, stealing a shopping cart full of Red Bull cases, estimated to be worth about $100. An employee attempted to intervene when Sharp threatened to pepper spray her, the police said.
I'll cobra kick you.
That's when this guy got out of the car and dragged the cart full of Red Bull closer to the vehicle. Angela Sharp then pepper sprayed the Costco employee, and the two suspects drove off.
And a cobra kick.
Police obtained surveillance video of the incident, which showed the man was wearing a Pittsburgh Steelers jersey. That's a sign that you're a criminal.
Now, with the pepper spray,
yeah,
you get it in their nostrils, get it in their eyes.
Yeah.
Don't forget the ears.
An employee told police that these two had stolen Red Bull from the store just a week before. And in that case, 25 cases of Red Bull, estimated to be worth about $2,500, were stolen. Police said in that incident, an employee had taken photos of the getaway car, and it was the same getaway car in both incidents. Police later learned about a third case that happened on July 14th at another Costco. In that case, A man matching the same description as the other two incidents was acting suspicious with a cart full of Red Bull cases, also a Dell laptop computer, and a security camera. Yeah, I gotta hook this laptop up to the security camera to make sure nobody steals my Red Bull. A lot of bad people out there. The man attempted to leave the Costco with the merchandise through a side door when an employee approached him.
What do you think you're doing with the side door?
The man allegedly said to the Costco employee, quote, "You want some of this?" He then hit the employee's face with his elbow. At that point during the altercation, the suspect flashed a bit of something black and said, "I will blast you guys and shoot you." The suspect ran without stealing anything that time. But we've now learned there's another incident where a guy with the same description on July 13th entered a business and stole 20 cases of Red Bull.
Boy, these people keep a lot of Red Bull on hand.
When an employee confronted the suspect, he said, "Don't approach me. I have a firearm and I will use it if you approach." So this guy in his Steeler jersey, I mean, what if they're using it themselves, that's a lot of Red Bull to go through.
It's not Ben Roethlisberger, is it?
No, again.
I mean, he's out of the league.
The suspect is Eugene Davis and his accomplice, Angela Sharp.
Ben Roethlisberger, a.k.a. Glenn Davis.
The driver reached speeds of 100 miles per hour on the highway. I'm imagining, assuming here that that's in a car. He wasn't doing 100 miles an hour on account of all the Red Bull he drank. "You'll never catch me!"
This car's not going fast enough.
The driver, identified as Angela Sharp, reached speeds of 100 miles per hour. Sharp then stopped the car after 15 minutes, parked it, and then both she and Davis got out. Cops found a Pittsburgh Steelers jersey matching the one seen in the surveillance video near the car. Police said they also found nearly 200 cans of Red Bull inside the car and trunk. While in custody, Sharp told police that she was indeed a suspect in one of the robberies, saying that she did it because she is addicted to Red Bull. If you have too much of that, your heart just explodes, right? Is that a thing, Red Bull addiction? It just seems like, I don't know. I don't know.
I'm just so sluggish without it. Can't get anything accomplished.
Someone here is saying, "For the past 2 years, I drink Red Bull daily, 3 to 4 a day. Should I be worried about my consumption of it?" Yes. You probably shouldn't be drinking that much. Here's someone that says, "It's been 10 days since I quit my 20-year Red Bull addiction."
Oh, boy.
"I got started with it in my early 20s and used to have 2 or 3 bottles or cans a day. Not healthy for me, but I'm young and I work a pretty physical job, so I'm fit. I don't even consider any effects." I don't know. It says, "For the last 6 to 7 years, I would drink 4 to 8 cans a day."
8?
5:30, wake up and shower. 6 a.m., sit outside, smoke, and have my first Red Bull of the day. Okay, there's a couple things.
You're checking all the boxes. Raji! Thank you, Lawrence. That'll do.
Yeah, it's... Wow. 7 a.m., sit outside, smoke, and have my first Red Bull of the day. 7:10, get to work, open another Red Bull before the 7:30 start. 10 a.m., morning tea. Then I open another Red Bull. And I drink that one slowly. It gets me to lunch at 12:30. 12:30, it's lunchtime. No food for lunch, just a new can of Red Bull. My last of the workday. Then at 4:30, I get home, have a Red Bull. And then at 8:30, I have a Red Bull just before bed.
What?
For bed? What are you doing? You would think that being an energy drink that I would have never slept drinking that amount of Red Bull, but nothing could be further from the truth. I slept like a baby all night every night. The only times I ever struggled sleeping would be if it was an unusually warm night. In the later years of my addiction on weekends, I even started napping during the weekends. I just couldn't stay awake the whole day.
I'm 6'4", 95 pounds.
I never really noticed any effects from drinking Red Bull aside from physically.
Okay.
My teeth are rotten and horrible, and I'm missing teeth. But that's due to being assaulted by a few dudes late one night. But I'm also sure as hell my teeth were weakened by the years of Red Bull abuse. Yeah. Yeah, and it says financially it was a huge burden, as Red Bull is definitely not cheap. I was never able to buy a house due to this. Oh, no. Yeah.
The Aldi's version of Red Bull.
Yeah, what's that called?
Gridlock.
How is it? Have you had it?
It's fine.
Does it taste
enough? I mean, it's like one of the, it's like the monster, it's the Aldi's version of, I guess, like Monster or something.
Okay.
Gridlock. I'm all gridlocked.
Number five.
In Virginia, a woman's trip to the grocery store took an unexpected turn on Thursday when she was startled by a snake in her shopping cart.
At the gate.
There's a big snake hanging right on top of the gate.
Yeah, that's not what you're expecting when you go grocery shopping. Kimberly Slaughter was at something called the Shoppers Value Store. This is in Lunenburg, Kentucky, Virginia. When she saw what she believed to be mouse feces inside of her shopping cart.
Couldn't you just pick a different cart?
Well, this gets confusing to me. I have a lot of questions, and I think you're going to have the same.
In Kentucky or Virginia?
Virginia. Lunenburg, Kentucky, Virginia.
The name of the town is Lunenburg, Kentucky.
I'm sorry. Lunenburg County. Am I saying Kentucky?
Yeah.
I shouldn't say Kentucky.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's all right.
Kentucky's got nothing to do with this.
See, I told you that 7 miles is too much,
this,
man.
This is what happens when I have to read the stories off my phone because we don't have computers
the
at work.
7 miles. It's too much.
Well, here's why I got Kentucky on the brain.
Why is that?
A buddy of mine that came into town to run the Bix, he's got a birthday coming up in November.
Yeah.
And for his 50th birthday, he wants us all to go down to do a bourbon trail in Kentucky. Which, you know, that's great. I have no use for bourbon.
Yeah, I'm not a bourbon guy.
Right. And he's like, well, you know, just come down. I'm like,
well, to do what?
Well, watch you guys. That's what I was asking. I'm like, I want to celebrate your birthday
just
with you.
Just FaceTime me.
Well, he's a really close friend, so I want to go.
Or put together a video of what happened.
I want to go, and I'm going to go. But I also was like, you know, they were saying, like, oh, we'll leave on Thursday. I don't have any time off
right.
left
When's
go.
His birthday?
It's in November. So this is like a October or November thing, whatever. Okay. So it's 6 hours away.
Yeah.
So I can get in a car and I can drive down there. But I'm like, I'm not going to be drinking bourbon. That's just not my thing.
No.
If we go someplace that has beer, I can figure that out. But I will not be, you know, trying different bourbons. Anyway, that's why I keep saying Kentucky.
I'm not positive they have beer in Kentucky.
They have to have it somewhere, right?
I don't know.
So, and then the other thing was we're going to go to these bourbon places, and then we're going to go to a Louisville football game.
Louisville?
Yeah.
The what, you're going to hang out with Papa John?
That's what I was like. The only thing I care less about than bourbon is Louisville football.
Sweaty Papa John?
But it's, you know, it's what he wants to do for his big day, so I guess that's what we're doing. But at first I thought, well, I can't go because you guys are leaving on Thursday.
No.
Well, now he's like, well, just come down Friday night, and then you can leave Sunday morning. I'm like, okay, I'm in.
Oh, great.
That I can do. But if all they have is bourbon to drink, you know, I'm going to be going out of my mind.
Who are the Louisville Cardinals playing?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
You're going to tailgate with Papa John?
I didn't say that I was. You're the one that's saying that. Does he go to the games? That's it. That's his team that he enjoys?
Until he got banned. I think he got banned.
So it's
I think the university
stinky.
Banned him. Didn't the university ban him from showing up at the games anymore?
They would like him to not be there anymore?
Right. I think that's the case.
Well, then it's
that he was getting out of hand. You're sweating too. No one sweats like this. What are you on? Don't tell me that you don't use stuff, because no one looks this way.
Let's see. Louisville Athletics announced that they have reached a 5-year settlement with Papa John.
What's that mean?
Over the Cardinals Stadium naming rights. Oh, okay. They spent a year working to separate themselves from Papa John.
Right.
Because he had the naming rights for Papa John's Cardinal Stadium. So whatever the name of it is now, it used to be Papa John's. The university had to reach a five-year, $9.5 million settlement with Papa John.
And he thought that meant he could do anything he wanted.
He got $1.5 million immediately. The remaining $8 million paid in installments of $2 million a year. So then they ended up getting a different sponsor. So Papa John ended up making money off of...
his bad behavior by them breaking the lease.
Oh, no.
Which probably was his intention the entire time.
Oh, no. There were 23 years remaining on Papa John's agreement with the university.
They're like, we just can't do this.
Oh, no. Oh, no. The deal with Louisville was first signed in 1996 and subsequently amended in 2000, 2007, and 2016. The initial agreement was built around Papa John agreeing to provide $3 million a year in Papa John's stock or the equivalent cash in escalating amounts through the year 2006.
Why are you sweating so hard? It's November. No reason.
Papa John's Cardinal Stadium was shortened to just Cardinal Stadium in July of 2018, 2 days after it was revealed that Shatner had used a racial slur during a company conference call months earlier. Yeah, that's... we can't really have you as the title sponsor of our team. Can I start again with this woman and
yes.
the snake?
Yes,
and the snake. And I'll stop thinking about Kentucky. I don't know why it's Kentucky and county in my brain are the same word, which okay. is not helpful to you listening to the story. Take two. A Virginia woman's trip to the grocery store took an unexpected turn on Thursday when she was startled by a snake in her shopping cart.
There's a big snake hanging right on top of the gate.
I've already done
All right,
that.
Cool it, Prince. We got it.
Prince. Kimberly Slaughter was inside a Shoppers Value store in Lunenburg County, Virginia, when she saw what she believed to be mouse feces inside her shopping cart. Quote, I was like, I'm not getting that bag, so I put it on the bottom shelf because there was already mouse poop covering the bottom shelves. Slaughter said she also noticed rodent traps on the bottom shelf. She went to grab another bag of popcorn and saw that it had a small hole in the top right corner. So then she grabbed that one?
So wait a minute. Is the snake in the popcorn bag or in the shopping cart?
I'm very confused by
how
this.
How did we get to the droppings are in the cart or the droppings are on the
It sounds
the
like
shelves.
There's just mouse crap
everywhere. Everywhere.
Right. And my take would be, like, if I went to the grocery store and I saw mouse excrement on the shelves,
yes,
there are other places you can get your groceries.
Certainly.
Right?
Yes.
If there are rodent traps on the, like, if you could see the rodent traps on the store shelves,
right,
there are other places.
Unless you're going there to buy rodent traps.
No, I can see that there's
Oh, here's some right here. They're already engaged.
When Slaughter went to put the bag to take up to the front because it couldn't get sold, she discovered a snake inside. So there was a hole in the bag, and she thought, oh, I'll bring this up front to let them know.
See if I can get a discount. What do you want for this?
Now this
kind
is,
of deal can you do for me?
There's a hole in this bag.
Uh-huh.
I want you to be aware of it, but also,
yeah,
can we maybe work out a deal?
Yeah, work out a deal.
Hey, pal, what's your policy on making special orders?
Mm-hmm.
What sort of exception can be made here?
Yeah. I mean, the snake has eaten half the popcorn.
She went to put the bag in her cart to take take it up front because it couldn't be sold, and that's when she discovered the snake inside. She said, the thing had popped out, and, you know, I was like, oh, well, hi. She explained that when she brought the cart to the front of the store, the snake emerged from the bag and slithered around before returning inside the bag.
Is that something that snakes are known for eating?
Popcorn?
Yeah.
I would never have guessed in a million years that was something.
Do people
snake-like.
With snakes feed them popcorn? And I'm guessing you're talking about popped popcorn.
Or yeah, it's not kernels. No.
Not eating kernels?
She says she's got a baby at home, and she was worried what would have happened if the snake had made it back home.
Well, where's the baby? What do you mean there's a baby at home?
Well.
You left the baby at home?
There are people that watch the baby while she goes to the mouse crap grocery store. Quote, I have a baby, and he's just starting to walk. So imagine if he was a little bit older, or if my niece had gone by and been like, hey, I want some popcorn. And grab that bag and it bit her. It's not safe. It's
well,
not healthy.
You can make up any scenario you want.
But hang on. Her whole argument was, I'm bringing this bag up for it not to be sold.
Yeah.
But what if I had bought it? You were not going to bring that bag home.
What can you do for me?
The store manager says that they are investigating. He says, we have no idea where it came from. We're investigating to try and find out where it came from. But we have no other indication that there could be any others.
What if I had decided to eat that entire bag of popcorn in one bite? What are you talking about? You can make up any ridiculous scenario you want to.
I open the bag up.
I then
unhinge my jaws.
I closed my eyes.
And I dump it in.
I dump it in.
And then
next thing I know,
I'm eating a snake.
I got a snake in my...
That's not...
Then what happens?
That's not okay.
That's not okay. What happens then?
Now, if it's a rat snake, it's there for the mice that apparently are all over the place.
Yeah.
That snake was actually being helpful.
It's just perpetuating all kinds of scenarios and problems.
Yeah, I'm looking. The bag says here $3.49. And then right above it is a pretty massive tear on the top of it where this snake is... made his way into the popcorn bag. But again, you go somewhere else to get your groceries.
Yeah.
I'll bring this bag up to their so it's brought to their attention. No. You leave the store and on your way out say, there's mouse crap everywhere and it looks like there's a critter living in one of your bags of popcorn. See you never. I'll be back to the store never. But what if I had bought that bag of popcorn? And it wrapped itself around my baby. What about then?
How much popcorn do you need to eat?
Well, like the snake, if I don't eat my weight in popcorn, I got to shed my skin somehow. And the popcorn helps me do that.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
Well, that means we've made it to the end.
Well, that was just darn fine.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Thanks for listening to Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things podcast. We'll have another one for you soon. Until then, hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities record spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island.
Come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.